Well, good afternoon, everybody. Really great that you're here. Really impressive. I'm telling you, we travel all over the state. All the candidates do. It's really hard to get people involved in politics, and it's great when people show up. So you ought to congratulate yourselves because you have my admiration. So I'm Chris Kennedy. I'm one of Bobby and Ethel Kennedy's 11 kids. And when I was in high school and college, my oldest brother, Joe Kennedy, started a not-for-profit oil company. That usually confuses people pretty well. But he would buy oil, sell off gasoline, Vaseline, jet fuel, 30 other byproducts, take the profit on that, and use it to pay for home heating oil that was left over. And then he would share that with people who needed help heating their homes in the cold Massachusetts winters. I loved what he had done. I figured out he bent the rules of the economy to make it work once again for everybody and not just the super rich. And I thought, I want to do that with my life. President Reagan was the president of the United States at the time. He'd done something no American president ever done. He had created homelessness. He had created hunger in the United States. There had been hunger. There had been homelessness since the country was founded, but never created by the president. He threw so many people out of mental health facilities and other programs that were being paid for by the federal government with no way to integrate them back into the communities. For young people, you have no idea what occurred. We didn't have homeless people on our streets like we do today before the Reagan administration. Every food bank in the United States almost traces its roots back to the era of the Reagan administration. We did not have food banking in this country like we have had since his administration. So I decided I want to go into the fight against hunger. I didn't know how to feed people, so I thought I'd get a job in industry and learn how all that worked. So 1986, after I graduated from college, I moved from Boston, Massachusetts to Decatur, Illinois to work for Archer Daniels Midland. Yeah, surprised you, didn't it? Didn't see that coming, sir, did you? It was really good. They put me up in employee housing, and that was super helpful because if I'd been on my own trying to find my own housing in Decatur, I wouldn't have asked anybody, oh, is this upwind of the Staley plan? But because they knew what they were doing, we were upwind of the soybean plant down there, which is a really good thing. Then ADM moved me all over Illinois, all over the Midwest to learn the business. I bought corn and soybeans from farmers and then bought them from little elevators that I'd bought at the week before, worked on a railhead, worked on the river, worked at the crushing plant in Decatur, traded barge freight in St. Louis, all up and down the Mississippi River. And then I worked in Peoria at the alcohol plant. I remember the first minute I was in there, they were like, never smoke in here. I was like, why? Would that be problematic? Like, well, you get the corn dust, and if you ignite the corn dust, you'll blow central Illinois all the way to the moon. And that scared me. But it was a great experience, and they finally moved me to the Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange up in Chicago so I could learn how that business worked. I stayed with ADM for a while. Then I moved over to the Merchandise Mart in Chicago, which was built as the world's largest building. I continued to volunteer in the anti-hunger world. I became chairman of the Greater Chicago Food Depository, which emerged as the nation's largest food bank. About 6 years ago, my wife Sheila and I started a not-for-profit anti-hunger program like Top Box Foods. She runs it mostly now. Today is a delivery date. All over northern Illinois, we have trucks going to churches, 120 different community organizations. We can bring food right to food deserts. In Chicago and much of northern Illinois, grocery stores are closing like they're closing here in Peoria, leaving people with no options. And we can bring them fresh fruits and vegetables at a great price right into their communities. They'll do more volume today than we did the entire first year combined, largely because Sheila's running it, and largely because of the policies of the Rauner administration, which continue to put enormous pressure and create poverty wherever he can. I have four children, Sheila and I do. The oldest is a law student in Chicago. The next one helps in the campaign. The third is a teacher in Chicago Public Schools at the Earl School in Englewood. And the fourth is a college freshman. Those kids are going to make a decision about where to spend the rest of their lives, and they're going to make that decision in the next couple of years. I want them to stay here. I want to be around my grandkids if I'm lucky enough to have them. I want my children and their children to be around me as I get older. This looks like the Academy Awards. Anyways, I want to be around those kids and my grandkids. But I'm aware of what's happening. My friends who are a little older, who have children, their kids have left the state. We have the largest out-migration of millennials of any state in America, with the exception of New Jersey. Like, who the hell wants to live in New Jersey? We have the largest net out-migration of college freshmen. That's damaging to everybody, whether those are your kids or not. It's a disaster. Those kids go to somewhere else. 70% of kids get their first job in the community that they went to college, and they may never return. That's bad for our economy. When I graduated high school and college, my friends and I, we moved to where the jobs were. That's not the way it works anymore. Now the jobs move to where the highly educated kids are. You give the world highly educated kids, the world will give you its jobs, as it does in Silicon Valley and Austin, Texas, and Research Triangle, North Carolina, and Pittsburgh, and Akron, and Boston, New York. That's why our education matters so much. That's why the educational results in Peoria matter so much. That's why when you have a high school where only 6% of the kids who graduate are college ready, where the other 94% need remedial education before they can go to community college or university, that's when you have a community that's in trouble. The poor are being pushed out of our state. This is an incredible stat. The Illinois economy has been shrinking, and yet average household income has been going up. That's nearly impossible to do. You think about it for a minute, you can't figure out how to do that. I'll tell you how it got done. When we attacked 800 social service agencies, we threatened the poor. And anybody with a sick child, a disabled brother or sister, elderly parents who needed home health care, really needed it, left the state. And when the poor left, it made the rest of us who remained look 11% wealthier on average. Not because our pay went up, not because take home is higher, but because we pushed the poor out of the state. The poor are poor in Illinois, largely because they're undereducated. 75% of the kids who go to any public school in Illinois are so undereducated that they need remedial education before they can go to university or community college. That's the end of the world for our economy and for our communities. The reason we have bad educational outcomes is we pay for our schools with local property taxes. That's not the way they do it in other states. The good states, they pay for their schools at the state level. Doesn't matter where you live, your kid have a good opportunity for a great education, but we rely on local property taxes. We rely on local property taxes. What every state rep, every state senator knows, we shouldn't do that. The Democrats know it the most. The Democrats had a supermajority in the House, a supermajority in the Senate, controlled the governor's mansion, and did nothing to move us to a progressive graduated income tax. Why didn't the Democrats do that? They didn't do it because a handful of our elected leaders, Speaker Madigan and others, have outside jobs as property tax appeals lawyers. They're making money off the system, huge money, millions of dollars a year. So they're preserving a system that's damning the next generation of our kids to a life of economic servitude, destroying our families, and robbing our communities of any form of economic growth. I grew up part of the Kennedy family. The civil rights era was incredibly important to me. And now we live in a community, in a state, where we're reversing the great progress of that era. We're resegregating our communities. We're resegregating our schools. We're resegregating economic outcome. And we're resegregating economic opportunity. We're criminalizing poverty, and we're criminalizing race. The judge who sets your bail determines your sentence, in many instances, all over Illinois, all over the United States. If you're African American, you're stopped by a police officer, the cop is much more likely to think you're guilty than if you're white, even if the cop is black. The judge, too. And the judge who sentences you is going to sentence you to a much longer term if you're African American than you're white. This is not the progress. This is Martin Luther King weekend. Gather together. Race matters in America. Race affects outcome. Race needs to be part of the conversation, and we cannot let it get shoved aside. The outcomes in our city, in our state, in our country are racially based, And the government is taking steps to make that situation worse, not better. It doesn't have to be like this. We know how to fix the problems. We know how to provide everybody with opportunity. And when you know how to fix a problem and you don't, it's immoral. And we need to change that. Thank you all very much.
Thank you so much, Chris, for being with us on this afternoon. Part of my intro, I discussed the fact that this is the 51st year since the Great Migration, where many African-American families left the South, coming to the North, looking for job opportunities. You mentioned the out-migration that we are experiencing in Illinois as being a leader in that and how unfortunate that is. What we are also experiencing in Illinois, there's a report that came out last week that discussed that the jobless rate was lower around the country, but unfortunately, Black Illinois is not seeing that jobless rate go down. So what will you do with your lieutenant governor if you are selected to lead this state to deal with the fact that Illinois has the number one, has the highest Black unemployment in the country? What policies will you enact in order to deal with that very unsavory statistic?
Well, I'd say this, that as we have that discussion, let's make it clear that it matters to more than just the people who are unemployed. It matters to everybody in the state. I'm telling you, you cannot build a modern American economy when 75% of the kids are so undereducated at the high school level that they can't participate. You can't build the economy. It will not work. It won't work here. It won't work anywhere else. And other states don't have the outcomes we do. If other states have a higher level of productivity where everybody can participate in the economy, well, eventually their economies are going to grow faster than ours. People are going to want to be a part of those systems, and they're going to move away from Illinois. And we're going to accelerate the out-migration, not just of people, but of assets as well. Then we'll have we'll increase the rate of decline of our taxable assets. They're already going down. And then we're going to have a need for higher taxes to pay for services for people who can't take care of themselves. All of that is a disaster. It's a violation of who we are as Americans. This is the land of the free, and we're not letting people be free. We're not giving them choices. We're so undereducating people that they're forced into a life of crimes of survival. You commit crimes of survival long enough, you're going to get caught. Then we put you through a criminal justice system that has no rhyme or reason, with crazy things like a cash bail and a jail and prison system that has no mission. I mean, if I asked everybody here, why do we send people to prison, would there be any commonality of answers? Say there's 150 people here. I think we get more than 150 opinions why we send people to prison. Let's understand that. Let's have a community discussion around it. Let's clarify our thinking. Are we punishing them? Is this about retribution, or is it about reform? If it's about reform, is it about reentry? What is it? Where are we going to have that discussion? What is the proper venue? Literally, like, what is the proper venue? Is it a speech like this? My opinion, the governor needs to lead, bring us all together, clarify our thinking at the legislative level, bring our mayors and managers and say, why are we doing this? What do we want as great outcome? I saw this study from Deutsche Bank. I ran the Merchandise Mart. More companies moved to Illinois to open an office for the first time at the Merchandise Mart Center than any other location in the state. No one's even close. I know what it takes to get them to move here and expand once they arrive. It's all about the quality of the worker. They want highly educated high school kids. That's what they want more than anything else. Deutsche Bank sent me this report. It's their investment strategy for the world. You know what they say? The number one thing is criminal justice reform in the United States. Say that we're reaching full employment, like you described, in certain areas. But 35% of the American population has a criminal record. And employers haven't figured out how to deal with that. And now we're going to start running up against a ceiling on our economy because we haven't dealt with the aftermaths in the midst of an opioid crisis that's destroying an entire generation. and a crisis around people's personal records for felony convictions and others that we don't know how to process as employers. We need to rethink the entire system and end this school-to-prison pipeline that we've created and reverse it so that we can put people to work again.
Good afternoon. My name is Beth Johnson. I'm from Cabrini Green Legal Aid, and no, I'm not from this community. I've had the opportunity to work with many good folks here, including Representative Gordon Booth and hosting her first expungement and sealing summit last summer, last April. And it was an amazing event, but over half the people weren't eligible because their records, their convictions weren't eligible for sealing. Now, laws changed that, and many people in this room voted for laws that changed it to expand. But here in this county and many other places, there's one thing that's barring people from that relief, because as you recognize, a criminal record stops someone from getting a job. And that's outstanding fines, fees, and costs. So somebody owes money from going through the criminal system. We found that it's unfair, it's racist, it's disproportionate. So what will you do as governor to ensure not just rich people that can pay off their fines and fees have access to relief that this state has given to people, and that everyone, despite their economic status, has access to the legal system to pursue those forms of relief?
Well, I'd say this. I think that's an awesome question and gets at the heart of criminal justice reform. Like, why are we doing this? And say 50% of Americans, 50% couldn't access more than $400 if they really needed it. That's America. They're all that close to being penniless. That's the reality of our country. And we need to understand the reality of our country when we create statutes and laws and rules and suggest to those people that, oh, you need to come up with the $600 to pay for court costs or the $300 or the $100. Why would we do that? What does economics have to do with a decision as to whether or not to keep somebody in jail or release them on bail? It has nothing to do with that. The decision to release somebody or not should be based on whether they're dangerous or not, not whether they have money or not. We should make that decision. Just as we should get money out of that part of the system, the front end, we should get it out of the back end as well. Why are those governments insisting on people paying fees and fines that they know that they have no access to? Why are we keeping people from being productive members of society? Why don't we look at everybody as a little economic engine, each capable of contributing to the common weal? The early states in the United States called themselves commonwealths, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the Commonwealth of Virginia. They came together for the commonwealth. Let's embrace that thinking again. Is it in the best interest of the commonwealth to make those people productive members of society again? Yes, it is. And are we willing to forego collecting a $400 fee? Yes, we are. I think it's that simple. Am I done? Closing? You know, I may appear to be in the bright lights, but you're in the dark back there. Close. So I think what's happening in our state is terrible. A handful of people are making money off this system. The Sears Tower sells for $1.2 billion. Sells. The Cook County Assessor says it's only worth $579 million. There's $600 million in missing value from one building alone. They pay 5% of value in Chicago taxes. 5% of $600 million is $30 million. It's $30 million a year that's not going to flow into our schools or police protection from one building in the loop where there are hundreds of others. Hundreds of others where the same thing's occurring. Now, that may only matter to people in Cook County. Maybe you think in Peoria it doesn't matter here anymore. But if you looked at the last five buildings that sold in Peoria, commercial buildings, and compared them to the sales price, this will take you 15 minutes. They were on average appraised at 77% of value. There's millions of dollars of value that's being robbed of the people of Peoria to fund schools schools that need that funding. In Cook County, when that value disappears, it now hurts everybody across the state. The new funding formula for the state of Illinois, it allocates state resources depending on local community capacity. That capacity is determined by assessed valuation. If a community like Cook County, like Chicago, artificially allows the valuation to be reduced because of shenanigans in the Cook County Assessor's Office, well then, they're going to have artificially low capacity and the state's resources are going to flow to them instead of communities that have an honest system. It's bad for all of us. The people of Peoria now have a right, a call on what happens across the state. We need to return integrity to our government. The basic belief of Democrats is that government can be our ally. It can educate our children, keep our community safe, care for our elderly parents, make sure that they have a good retirement and access to health care. That's what Democrats believe. We're never going to get all the Democrats to come out and support us. We're never going to get independents to come our way. They're never going to get Republicans, even progressive or liberal Republicans, to support us if they believe that elected officials are corrupt, if they're in it for their own good. We need to get the dirty money out of politics so we can get the dirty politicians out of government. We need to embrace servant leaders and not leaders of servants. We need people who are willing to speak up by speaking out. That's what we need in our state. You have a choice in this election. You can support the insider's candidate, someone who will preserve the status quo and allow these people to continue to run the state in their self-interest. Or you can send a message, not just across Peoria or Illinois, but across the United States to every democracy around the world. You can say that a vote matters as much as a check, that a message matters as much as money, and that to be part of the American democracy is something that everyone, anywhere in the world, should still aspire to be part of. Thank you all very much.